Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
I'm delighted now to be joined by comedian Fred Cook. Welcome, Fred.
Brendan, how are you? Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming in. And we're going to talk about your life today, but through the medium of five songs that have marked that life. So come here, we'll get straight down to it. So your first choice is Bruce Springsteen. Is it true that at age four you cried and cried and cried because your parents wouldn't bring you to see Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, Mom would let me go see Bruce Springsteen in Slane, and I was devastated. Because I remember I was singing Born in the USA. I was walking around Gardner Estate in Kells, and Mom hadn't heard the song. So she was like, God, Fred's a genius. He's singing about the United States of America. This is fantastic. But I loved it. I loved that song. And there was such excitement about Bruce Springsteen back then.
Did you understand what that song was
about? No, I had no idea it was about Vietnam. But maybe I remember singing the first line around Kells, age five, like, born down in a dead man's town. I was like, you sing, this is Kells. Good man. But I don't think most of us, like, I remember in the 80s as well, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think most of us realised its context back then. Like, it was such a great anthem.
Weren't you very passionate about American music at such a young age? Where were you getting it from?
Do you know, I was so fortunate because we'd go on my mom's town. Was Carrick-in-Shannon in Leitrim. So we would go there on bank holidays, midterms. And my uncle, he would record MTUSA.
MTUSA.
Do you know? So we had this wealth of 80s videos from 4, 5, 6. Do you know, we'd watch poor Vincent Hanley walk up and down the streets of New York introducing songs. So I could tell you from 4 or 5, you know, you had all these amazing pop songs, Alphaville, Big in Japan, Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to turn these videos on.
It was
on.
The only music we had on TV back then. It was a very specific selection of kind of yacht rock and kind of American M.O.R. We all knew these songs, and ZZ Top.
Completely, I was actually, for this, I went looking at a music video I used to love, which was Alan Parsons' Don't Answer Me, and it was an animated cartoon. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, of course.
And funny, when I
could sing that song, even though, like, I don't know who they are, never into them, but it was brainwashed into
it. It was just so repetitive. And do you know, when I went looking into it on Wikipedia for the song itself, at the very end, it said the song was very popular in Irish, with Irish people who go to USA. I'm like, wow, damn right it was.
Yeah. I believe it was the Alan Parsons Project, which led to this kind of gravitas, as if it was, of course, you went on to play Slane yourself then.
I did. Do you know, when I was thinking, I was broke there recently, and could I sell my glockenspiel, because I've got a picture of me playing it in Slane as well, do you know what I mean?
With
ham sandwich, no, unfortunately not, but I got to play amazing. I supported Bon Jovi and Slane. Can we take a break now and come back? We'll leave it
and
there.
They needed your support, Fred.
Oh, they did. But you know, the funny thing about that gig was, and it was amazing, I was playing with Ham Sandwich. I was so lucky, and that's just geography. That's just known Podge McNamee from Ham Sandwich, and he asked me to play with him, and I said, of course I'll do it. And the stage, John Bon Jovi's backline for the stage hadn't arrived yet. We were still late with it. So when we were on stage, they were still putting the stage together, do you know, and my glockenspiel, you know, it's not the most loudest instrument in the band, do you know, and in mid-song, I could hear a guy drilling a nail into a piece of wood. And I'm like, this is Slane Castle, what's going on here, do you know?
So did you play any instrument apart from the glockenspiel, obviously?
Oh, yeah, I play piano and guitar.
Okay.
And I played some piano as well for Ham Sandwich as well through the years as well.
So you are an actual musical person. Okay, we'll delve more into that, but let's have a listen to the first song. So here is Bruce Springsteen and a song about Kells, Born in the USA.
Yeah.
That's Fred Cook's first choice today. Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA, which I will never be able to listen to again without imagining this four-year-old around Kells. So what kind of kid were you growing up in the 80s? Like, happy-go-lucky?
Oh, very happy-go-lucky.
There's a sensitivity to you as well.
I am probably... probably more sensitive than most people, but I do think my 80s, I was privileged. I had definitely more freedom, to walk around Kells. And I was such an, you know, when I hear that song, you know, I mean, I was such an 80s kid. Like, I embraced 80s culture phenomenally. And I remember, like, I was mad about the A-Team, mad about them, and obsessed with Mr.
I ain't getting no airplane with that crazy. Oh,
yeah. Unless he had a glass of milk and he fell asleep. Do you remember that? Yeah. Whoever wrote the script, just giving me falls asleep drinking milk. Hey, the lion, am I in a plane? Do you know? I was obsessed and I got it.
And they had to break Murdoch out of the institution each time as well. It was a job. Course, yeah.
I mean,
we could go down a hole here now that would be good for like about maybe 20% of the population.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I know, they probably were terrorists looking back, but you know, like they did some, and but I do remember, my first experience of proper political correctness. I was so obsessed with Mr. T. In one Halloween night, like, there was this lady, she was painting, like, she was giving his outfits and stuff, and I wanted to look like Mr. T, and she wouldn't allow me to. Do you know what I mean? And I remember getting a bit annoyed. I was like, just paint me like Mr. T, and she wouldn't.
Which
was completely, and so she just put a refuge bag on me, and then I walked around the estate instead, telling everyone I was Mr. T. So,
progressive, yeah.
Yeah.
The fool
in 1985.
I pity the fool walking around Kells in a bag. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll stop now. And come here. You went to boarding school then. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was fine. Like, you know, it was such a massive change for me. You know, I went to St. Pat's in Cavan in 93. And, you know, I got kind of looking back as well. You know, my granny just passed. And, you know, I was kind of an all boys boarding school for 5 years. So, do you know, at times...
Does that make or break you, really?
Does it make or break me? It made me in ways, you know what I mean? Because I was so lucky with the with music and the education system there. Like, it was great. But then, you know, I don't know if, like, a load of guys together as well, like, you know, was, you know, the most healthy situations as well, you know, like, looking back, like, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We leave that at that, yeah. I don't think, it doesn't feel like you came out of it like some kind of toxic masculinity jock bro or anything like that.
No, you definitely
didn't. So your second choice then... And again, like, this is more of the kind of awful culture of the past. The crash test dummies. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved this. I was just so different. It was just like, I remember I was losing faith in music from 93, 92. There used to be this show called the Twix Chart Show. It was just before like CD UK. And I remember saying to my dad, have you run out of songs? Have you actually run out of good melodies? But when this song came, I got excited about music again.
Really?
You know, I loved it.
You're
because
the first person I ever heard say that about this song.
But it was just so unique. It was so different. It was like nothing else that was in the charts back then, you know. So, and I tried to get into other music. I remember Snap Rhythm as a Dancer. I couldn't get into it. I tried, you know, or The Shame and Ease Are Good or stuff like that. Remember that early 90s dance stuff. So when this song came out, it was like a breath of fresh air.
You were like, thank God, I returned to the old ways.
And okay. I was lucky to meet the lead singer 2 months ago, the Crash Test Dummies played
really?
In Dublin. Yeah. And I thanked him. I said, thank you so much for writing that song, because, you know, I was 14 back then when that song was released, and it was the only song that could connect with me because it was so different. Do you know what I mean? And it was so, and I really appreciated that he wrote that song. So it was nice to do that.
He wasn't really touched, was he?
He just said thanks, and that was it. And then I said, so do you want this midwix? He went, no. Okay, see you later then.
Okay. So here he is. Yeah, as Fred explains there, man, a few words, the Crash Test Dummies.
Finally made body. She couldn't quite explain it, it always just
That is the song that saved music for 14-year-old Fred Cook, the Crash Test Dummies.
It was also that the production of the song at the time was so warm. It was so nice. And the bass player, like, he managed to have this whole individual melody for himself in the song, yet still holding the whole song together, like, you know, which was just beautifully produced.
Yeah, you're one of those people. They're who the songs you like, you can dissect them.
I do, to my detriment. Sometimes I find it hard to actually enjoy a song because I'll be thinking of the key changes and its direction and stuff like that. So.
Nice, I like what he did there, yeah. Okay. So next choice then, the Cranberries, Ridiculous Thoughts. Why this?
This band, I adore. I bought this album and went on a school tour in St. Pat's in Cavan. We went to Enniskillen. We always just seemed to go to Enniskillen, and I bought this album, No Need to Argue, on cassette. And I must have listened to it 1,000 times, you know, from there on, the summer after. And they were really the band that introduced me to rock. Okay. They got me out of pop music. And like, the Crash Test Dummies were great, but they weren't rock. They'll admit it themselves. Even the lead singer said in Dublin 2 months ago, he goes, are all you guys ready to rock moderately? That's what he said. So, like, you know, they knew where they were at. So I needed, you know, when I heard Zombie, and Ode to My Family, I was like, wow, those two songs are on the same album. I wonder what the album's like.
Yeah. And because they were incredible. Irish as well, I presume, like...
Completely, yeah. Yeah, like, I was mad about their fashion, you know, like, they were wearing Doc Martens and stuff like that. I remember Dad bringing me to Drogheda to buy a pair of Doc Martens, you know, that I grew into. And so, it was, you know, it was just that period, do you know what I mean? It was a healthy change for me, like,
oh, great. Yeah. And it is how music... band can kind of change who you are almost.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, but how you present. Yeah.
Like, that whole period as well. So, like, you know, the Cranberries got me into so many different bands. And, you know, I got into a band myself, but I was very delusional about how I could sing as compared to, like, a Dolores O'Riordan or Tom York. I remember I was in this pub called O'Shaughnessy's with a local Celts band. I was the lead singer. And I said to everyone, come on, sing along. And the drummer was like, you can hardly sing it yourself. You know? And it was a real wake-up call for me. It was actually So This Is Christmas, John and Yoko. Do you know, like, the audacity of me? It was that key change. Yeah. And so this is Christmas.
Yeah, and, all right, when they take it all up.
Oh, yeah. Completely. Yeah. And I remember Mom saying to me, she just said to me after the gig, she was like, Fred, you can't sing. You know, you can't sing.
Yeah. It was really harsh but kind in the long run.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. Yeah, she went well.
Okay, here's Fred Cook's third choice, the Cranberries, Ridiculous Thoughts. Twister, oh, I shouldn't have trusted in you. Twister, oh, na na na. It's not gonna happen now. You're not gonna make fun of me. Happen now, na na na. Okay, that's the Cranberries, Ridiculous Thoughts, and that's Fred Cook's third choice today. So when did you decide to become a comedian then, Fred?
In college, in UCD. I was probably... I studied music in UCD, and throughout that, you know, I got involved in societies. And I joined a comedy society in my first year. And just to find myself, do you know what I mean? Do you know, when I entered UCD in 99, like, there was 17,000 on campus. And, you know, for, like, a townie like me in Kells, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm going to have to really dig here to find myself. And it didn't take long. And so it was really, God, I remember watching David O'Doherty. He just got nominated for the Perrier, and I was just watching him on a keyboard, and there was maybe 400 people in the student bar, and I'm going, how is this happening? Just 400 people and one guy with a toy keyboard creating such a fantastic effect. And so, do you know, I said I wouldn't mind giving it a try just to do it, you know, and like I didn't really do a stand-up gig then till another 4 years later, do you know, really when I finished college. Is when I tried to give it a proper go, like.
Okay. Comedians often, I think, are sensitive people and all that, and, you know, can be depressive and all that kind of thing. Is it a hard life for a sensitive person, though? Is it a bit lonely, like, because you're not in a band, you're on your own.
Yeah.
You're going back to a hotel room often.
Yeah, I know the isolation suits me. Does it? At times, yeah. Yeah, and always has. Do you know, the quote Crash Test Dummies, they couldn't quite explain it. It was always just there.
So, why does it suit you?
Yeah, it just always has, like, my own time, my own space. Do you know, like, it's important for me. And I guess I'm lucky as well with stand-up as well that I do get that time. Like, my wife is quite understanding. Do you know, but, to say it's a lonely career, I think ultimately, as in any profession, you know, you can find loneliness in anything, you know, but people never really talk about lonely plumbers or lonely electricians as much. You know, I can understand that, because with comedians, you know, you're kind of putting your heart in your sleeve and, you know, you're more open. But at the same time, I think, ironically, stand-up comedy, like the industry and the lifestyle it has given me the best, probably a lot of the best friends that I have.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I love being on the road. I love meeting comedians and doing club gigs. I get that feeling when I'm hanging out with club comedians before a gig. It feels like I'm mitching school. I was like, how am I getting away with this?
Do you know what I mean?
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned Julie there, your wife. Did you meet her through comedy as well? She's a comedian.
Yeah, I did. I met her in a Seamus Ennis Arts Centre in Knoll. And, you know, like we met up, you know, we kept texting, and like there weren't even dates at the start. We were kind of just hanging out, you know, and like doing the same events. And I was very lucky.
And is she more down to earth person than you? More together, or like, is there a yin?
I think it depends. It depends on the situation and the day as well. Like, but she definitely is. She's definitely more focused than me. That's the truth. Like,
she ground you a bit.
Absolutely. And we're very lucky as well. I think because we're both stand up comedians. I was talking to my dad there just yesterday about this, that a lot of the arguments that my mom and dad would have had growing up is that my dad, like, he's a published poet. He's written poetry, and he's got books in Drumlin magazine, like different articles and stuff, and like different poetry, and so it would drive my mom crazy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To see the arguments and stuff like that, and it would annoy me. Like, at the early days, like, I wouldn't have known too much about his poetry myself. Like, you know, I'd almost be taking mom's side, you know. In first year, I was like going, "My God, if you think dad's poetry's bad, mom, you should read this guy Seamus Heaney that I'm being told." You know, so it's like I hadn't a clue myself.
Yeah.
And but I remember in latter years, like, dad be quite passionate about his poetry, you know, and it was his thing. It's not a career thing, even, you know what I mean? It's just, it's a passion, and very much as poetry can be, it's very much to write it. It has to be right in the moment, you know. And so when it comes to stand-up comedy and the relationship I have with Julie and I, because we're both comedians, like, I don't even mind if she doesn't like my comedy. Thankfully, she does.
Okay.
But just to kind of understand it and understand why I do it. So we have that with each other, which is great.
Oh, yeah, that is good, yeah.
Do you know?
And the song you picked is the Franco Malters, after all. Is this your song?
Well, do you know, I thought it was, but then 2 days ago, she was like, Fred, this isn't our song.
All right.
And I'm like, no, it is. You love the Franco Malters. Yeah, they're good, but no, it's not our song. But and then looking back, why I chose it is I do love the Franco Malters. And Julie and I, maybe 2018, they were playing Dublin, and you know, I didn't know Julie that well, and I asked her to come out with a friend of mine, Frank, who's actually from Cork as well, and that we'd seen the Frank Walters in Dublin. I remember being very excited to see her that night, and like, you know, she was looking stunning, I've kept that excitement alive, like, you know, it's great.
So have I was looking at that you? Moment. Yeah, very have you?
Oh yeah, I hope so. Yeah, yeah. Now I've been with the weather. You know, we're based in Dingle, and I've been away I haven't been allowed to drive home. Yeah, I've been away for the past. I've been here in Meath for the past week and a half. So I do think I need to get back to Kerry to see. You know,
so you're dying to see her. Yeah,
oh, of course. And and the kids as well. Like,
yeah, yeah.
She deserves a massive
obviously
break.
The kids. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Here's it's Fred's song for Julie anyway. not quite their song. She'd probably take this as an act of aggression. No, I met Julie like, and she's yeah. Okay. The Frank and Walters, after all, whether she likes it or not, her song. That's the Frank and Walters, after all. Isn't that a lovely love song, actually? When you hear it there, yeah. And I was thinking of you and Julie. She should accept it and adopt it as your song.
Or else you just...
Hopefully we've had a breakthrough today. Yeah.
I can look at her and go, Julie, I know that we fight, but as time's passed by, just take the lyrics literally. Do you know, like, yeah, it's great. Yeah.
So listen, you're hitting the road with your new tour, Clone to Earth. What's the gist of it?
It's just, it's really the last 2 years, 2.5 years of my put into an hour and 10 minute show, and it's just different stories throughout the years. You know, like the situations where not only have I failed, but I failed brilliantly. I couldn't have failed better.
Okay,
you know, in the situations, yeah. You know, so it's accumulating those stories. Like I'm actually one of the things I talk about. I'm on Netflix. Do you know that I'm on this sitcom called Vexed. And it was, I actually am. And we filmed it around 14, 13 years ago. I wasn't in it for that much. It's one episode. All I had to do was act dead. I had to do nothing, right? Yeah. Just hold my breath and keep my eyes opened. That's it, you know? But I found out just before I acted dead, like, honestly, I found out, because it's BBC money, I found out, like, I found out 5 minutes before I acted dead that I was getting $1,000 for the day. I'm telling you, Brendan, I could not take the smile off my face. I was the happiest looking dead fella you've ever seen in your life. I was like, oh God. I remember the director, sorry Fred, could you just open your eyes and hold your breath, right? You're doing great, mate, you're doing great. And if you look at it, I think it's very hard to play dead in the present when you're thinking of all the things you want to buy in the future, you know?
Yeah,
and brilliant. If you look at it there, I'm on Netflix, you can see it now, and it's they look at me like I'm dead, I've been murdered, and go, look, he's dead, a scumbag, I hope he goes to hell. And I'm like, I'm Benidorm, fingers crossed, you know? It's looking good.
You're having the best day of your life. Yeah. Okay, listen, your last song today is for your mother, Mary, and she died in November.
She did,
And my condolences. How are you doing?
I'm brokenhearted.
Yeah.
We were lucky together, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know, and we've kind of punched Julie and I both sides. Like, her father passed away on the 19th of December. I think so. So we've kind of, it's, you know, it's a Christmas we won't forget.
Yeah.
Do you know, and do you know, I remember when my uncle passed away in 98, I used to play this song for Mom because she had so much grief for the passing of her brother. And I think for me, this song, for me, it's a prayer. Do you know, you know, it's, you know, lyrically, you know, I'm crying all the time. I have to cover it up for this while. I've been told that things will heal given time. I have a broken heart. Do you know, that's it.
That's it. Sometimes it's as simple as just having a broken heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to hear about that. And I think Irish lads can tend to be mammy's boys too, can't we? You were obviously very close to your mum, were you?
I was. But, you know, we've been so lucky with the support. Kells, and she moved back to Leitrim, do you know, all those places. And, do you know, we were blessed.
Yeah. And I believe she was a big figure in Kells, your mother.
She's massive. Yeah.
So a lot of people miss her.
Completely. She worked in the swim pool in Kells. And, do you know, so many people would go in just for the conversations.
Really?
Like, yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, so, you know, we were very lucky. I was very lucky to get the last 4 weeks with her. Do you know, I knew we all knew she was sick, but we didn't really realise how sick she was. You know, so I'm at peace with that. I'm lucky to have those moments with her.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Fred, thank you so much. And thank you for sharing those memories
thank
with
you,
us.
Brett.
And I didn't mean to upset you with that last bit there. But the song is Broken Hearted by Spiritualized. Fred Cook, thank you very much. And for information on Fred's Clone to Earth tour, people can go to fredcookcomedian.com. But we'll finish up now on your final choice for your mother, Mary. This is Spiritualized and Broken Heart. Thanks, Fred.